Will your church be one of the issues, etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations to pledge $1,000 to Issues, etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues, etc. 300, click the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. You'll even find a one-page informational flyer. Please consider including Issues, etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues, etc. 300.
So tell me why haven't I heard from you?
Why haven't I heard from you?
Tell me why.
We'll round off this first hour of Issues, etc. on this Tuesday afternoon, September the 27th, listening to what you have to say on the Issues, etc. comment line. This is a line that we leave open for our listeners, especially for those beloved on-demand listeners, because they have questions and comments sometimes weeks after the original broadcast, and we want to let them know that we want to hear them. We want to answer the questions. We want to respond to the comments. And it's also there for anybody in general who has a show suggestion, criticism, whatever it may be. Any reaction that you have that you want us to hear from listening to Issues, etc., we want to hear it, and we'll take this time to respond to it. The number is 618-223-8384, 618-223-8384, the Issues Etc. comment line. First up, some feedback from an Issues Etc. classic show with Dr. Mike Horton on American Evangelicalism.
Hi, Pastor Wilkin and Jeff and Craig. This is David Rosenkenner from Kansas City, and I'm calling because I want to, again, thank you for the Issues Etc. classic programs that you put on the air. Most notably, the classic program with Mike Horton about American evangelicalism. It really is a classic, and I would dare say probably in the top three programs you all have ever produced. We cannot know the full grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in giving us free salvation unless we first are convicted fully of our sinful condition and our total depravity. And only then can we see how undeserving of our Lord's free gift that we are. Thank you.
And thank you very much for the comment. Well, certainly, Dr. Mike Horton is probably the sharpest mind in American Christianity right now when it comes to – he's among the sharpest minds, I should say, in American Christianity when it comes to the issue of critiquing American evangelicalism. And I think his critique is dead on. It does have to do with the centrality of the gospel. It does have to do with whether or not the gospel is actually surviving and thriving in American evangelicalism, or it has been replaced with something else. Now, great evidence of that is the conversation we had just a few minutes ago with Pastor Mark Jasa, talking about California pastors who, on the one hand, will affirm salvation by grace through faith for Christ's sake alone, and on the other hand, will, on a weekly basis, Sunday after Sunday, before thousands, sometimes tens of thousands of people, leave Jesus almost entirely out of the equation. He serves there merely as an example to be followed, or someone who's, well, he got you saved, but that's really all that he can do. And that salvation is just getting you in the door. It's a means to an end, a means to a greater end. The greater end being, unfortunately, your production. How much you can produce for God. And in the end, that's no gospel at all. A gospel that is just, Jesus did all this so that you could do all that, is not the gospel. The gospel has to stop dead with a period at Jesus did all this for you. Otherwise, it just isn't the gospel.
Hey, Todd, one of the things that people have been commenting on this Mike Horton interview was, we paid excerpts from your interview with Ted Haggard, Pastor mm-hmm. Ted Haggard, once president of the National Association of Evangelicals, and they've been asking, you know, where can I get that whole interview? So hopefully here in the next couple of weeks, we'll just play the interview in its entirety and post it on the website with your interview with Ted Haggard before his fall from what would you say?
Prominence.
Yeah. Yes.
Influence. And I read recently that he's going to appear on an episode of Wife Swap.
Gary Busey. He's going to Wife Swap with Gary Busey.
Is that true or is it just an internet rumor?
I don't know. I got it from Molly Ziegler Hemingway. So,
well, there's a journalistic, an unassailable journalistic source of truth. So, I mean, wow. Laying that aside, yeah, the conversation we had, I remember almost every moment of the conversation with Ted Haggard when he was president of the National Association of Evangelicals. For this reason, it's one in a long series of interviews that I call Let the Horse Speak. Interviews where we interview people. We just simply ask them to tell us what they think. We ask questions. We're not particularly confrontational. We do make it clear where we differ, but I simply let them say what it is they believe. And Ted Haggard said some remarkable things. He said Christians should be sinning less and less every day. Therefore, there should be days, if you're really doing it right, in your life where you don't need to repent. I mean, come on. If you have to repent at the end of a day, it means you failed. And when I said, look, I can't get through a day without desperate need for repentance because I sin in thought, word, and deed, his response to me was, well, stop that. And I said, I know I should stop. He had no answer. He had no answer except, you know, you really need to try harder. He seemed almost surprised in that conversation that he was talking to, I think what he probably assumed was a fellow Christian in good faith, who hadn't reached this level of victorious living that apparently he had. Of course, we found out it was not 2 months later that he hadn't really been living this victorious, no need for repentance lifestyle. The conversation we had with him actually took place while he was in a hotel room working on a book, on his next book. And it was discovered later that it was in those hotel visits that he had some of his, what shall we call them, nefarious affairs. And here's the guy, I don't think he was lying. I think he was lying to himself that he didn't need to repent, even while in the very hotel rooms where his downfall took place.
Hi, this is Rob from Hillsdale calling. My wife and I sat here just, we're listening to Colleen Campbell talk about Alzheimer's. And I just wanted to give a quick call and say that I buried my mother a year ago, last winter, and she moved in with us and we cared for her. And our faith would not have survived without the theology of the cross, without the freedom, as Bonhoeffer put it, to be sinners, which we were, which my mother made very apparent to us, even as everyone else was saying how wonderful we were for caring for her and having her move in with us. So I wanted to thank Issues, etc., because my wife and I said on a number of occasions that our former evangelical faith, which says that every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before, would not have survived. And so thank you for your faithfulness. God bless you. Bye-bye.
We often say here that false teaching hurts people. I mean, in those moments of life where you are laid bare and vulnerable to what life and circumstances and just living in this world can do to you, and it eventually happens to everybody. I mean, if not in the ordinary course of your life, it'll get you in the end. Sooner or later, life just kicks you in the butt. And if you have a faith that says, I really should be making this steady improvement where I need Jesus less and less. That's what's behind statements like, well, a Christian should be sinning less and less. A Christian shouldn't need to repent as much tomorrow as he did today or next year as he did last year. That's what's behind it is I don't really need Jesus. If I'm really succeeding at being a Christian, I shouldn't need forgiveness. If I'm really succeeding at being a Christian, I shouldn't need to repent. If I'm really succeeding at being a Christian, I shouldn't need Jesus. Now, they won't come out and say that last part because that sounds wrong. And there's a reason it sounds wrong. It is. It's wrong. The very definition of a Christian is, well, Paul gives us this beautiful definition of being a Christian. He says, it's a trustworthy saying, and you would do well to accept it. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I, that is St. Paul, am the worst. The definition of a Christian isn't saying, I need Jesus less and less every day. I need him more and more every day. It's not to cease sinning, as though such a thing were even possible, but to repent of sinning and to lean entirely upon the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ. It's to realize your own miserable, desperate, hopeless disobedience to God on a daily basis in your mind, in your words, in your actions, and to find your only hope, your only salvation, in the perfect obedience of Jesus Christ for you. Now, that's a kind of faith. Life can beat you down, and you realize, I still have Jesus. Life can throw you the curveball or utterly destroy you, but it doesn't take Jesus away from you. In the case of the caller here, a disease like Alzheimer's can rob someone of their mind, of their senses, of their memories and their love for their family even. It can't take Jesus away. When we come back in hour two of Issues Etc., Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse will be our guest. We're going to talk about women who are freezing their embryos for later. Stay tuned.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.